Gentlemen, here we are on Daf Vav Amud Beis, all the way on the bottom of the Daf, and we're about to Mirtzah Hashem start Daf Zayin. Let's just quickly review what we got up to here. The Gemara wants to establish Bittul Chametz and a time that's appropriate for Bittul Chametz. The Gemara establishes that you cannot be mevatel chametz after Shas Isuro, which means post midday on the 14th. That's too late for bittul. Okay, fine. So that's too late for bittul. So when is an appropriate time for bittul? So the Gemara says minivatli bi arba. This is the second line up from the bottom. Minivatli bi chamesh. The Torah prohibits chametz and possession thereof from midday. So why not institute bittul chametz an hour or 2 hours before then? Meaning, nevatli b'sheish would mean at the beginning of the sixth hour. Right? The midday is the end of the sixth hour, beginning of the seventh hour. So on a perfect day, that would mean 11 a.m. Or, for example, we could be mevatel the chametz even an hour earlier, namely at 10 a.m., which is called the arba. Says Rashi, the first of the wide lines on the bottom, klomar lama hutzrachtu, why did you require of him levatel belaila, immediately after the bedika at night, to be mevatel his chametz? Liskinu rabbonu l'chol odm shivatel kodem misuro. Why can't you establish that every person should be mevatel his chametz right before the Shas Isur? And the Shas Isur, the moment by which after which chametz is asur, is midday. So right before midday, you could have him be mevatel his chametz. So the Gemara says the following: Kevan de lavs man isurahu, the lavs man biurahu. Dilma Pasha Velomevatale. Let me try to explain this Gemara and then we'll read it inside and translate it literally. The Gemara is saying that the program of the Chachamim was to attach Bittul to a certain moment in time. And that moment in time would presumably function to serve that he would remind himself it's time for Bittul. You can't just tell him, you know, at such a time, you know, on the clock, arbitrarily choose a time, and that's the right time for bittul. It should be connected to a specific moment, which has something to do with chametz. So the Gemara says the following: that even though you argue, let's be mevatel the chametz on the as early as 10 a.m. on erev Pesach or 11 a.m. on erev Pesach, but those moments in time have no significance to them. They're not attached to anything. And that's what the Gemara says, Lav's man isurahu. It's already an hour or two early before the Shas Isur, so there's nothing special about that time period. Lav's man biurahu, that's not the moment in time in which the Torah requires you to get rid of your chametz. Is therefore Dilma, what we're afraid of, is perhaps Pasha, he won't live up to his obligation, velo mevatale, and he'll fail to recite Bittul in its time. You have to attach Bittul to a certain moment in time. So the Gemara now on top of Zayin Omen Alv says Nevatli B'Sheis, why not be Mevatel it at the beginning of the sixth hour, which means that although the Torah only requires you to get rid of your chametz at the end of the sixth hour, not at the beginning of the sixth hour, meaning at noon, that's called Achilek, if you remember that Gemara that we learned, and an hour before, certainly on a Doraisa level, in terms of the Torah law, you don't have to get rid of your chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour, but nevertheless, the Rabbanon require that you get rid of your chametz an hour earlier. So that the moment of Sreifas Chametz, of burning of the Chametz, is the beginning of the sixth hour, 1 hour earlier. The Torah says get rid of your Chametz in the beginning of the seventh hour. The Rabbanan said get rid of the Chametz in the beginning of the sixth hour. That means instead of waiting till 12 noon, you should burn your Chametz at 11. And Kavan, says the Gemara, to defend the logic that underlies this question, Kavan did the Isur Drabbanan Ilay. Oh, I'm sorry. This is already going to be the answer to the Gemara. So again, at this point, if you take a look at Rashi on the top of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Rashi says, L'taknu Rabbanon. If the Rabbanon are looking for an hour that would universally remind everybody that it's time for Bidul, is L'chol Adam, is L'vata B'libo B'tchila Sheish. Now you're going to tell me, well, the Torah doesn't say it's prohibited until the end of the sixth hour, the beginning of the seventh hour. So what? How do I attach? You know, what's this memory device of the beginning of the sixth? Says Rashi, Hashtalo Pasha. We don't have to worry about the fact that he'll be negligent and he'll forget to do bittul. Why? The Ikazikaran Tuva. There's something that will profoundly remind him that this is the moment that's appropriate for bittul. Sharei Asuk Bisrei Faso. Because at that moment, he's already burning his chametz. The Rabbanan required him to burn his chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour, which is 11 a.m. on our clock, rather than wait till the beginning of the seventh hour, which would be 12 noon. So since the Rabbanan already required him at that moment in time to get rid of his chametz, he's busy with Tzreifas chametz, now he'll remind himself, hey, it's time for Bittul. You know, like if you see in the Haggadahs, you know, at the beginning of the Haggadahs, they say, oh, now take out your chametz and burn it, and here's the Bittul. You know, they give you the Nusach HaBittul. So the Nusach HaBittul now is going to be attached to that moment of Tzreifa. So we've really covered our bases. You're worried about him forgetting to do Bittul. Why do you have to make it so early that he does the bittul on the night of Pesach, following the Bedikas Chametz? Why not wait until the beginning of the sixth hour, which is 11 a.m. on a perfect clock, on Erev Pesach, because that's the moment that he takes his Chametz out to burn it? So Gemara says that's too late for bittul. Why is that too late for bittul? You remember that we already established, that was yesterday's discussion, that after Shas Isuro, once is an Isa to own Chametz, and you have to take it out of your possession, at that point it's already too late for Bittul. And we had a long discussion about why that's so. So Gemara says, Kevan de Isura de Rabbanan Ilay. You know, it's from the beginning of the sixth hour, the Rabbanan said it's Chametz, which means you're not allowed to have any benefit from the Chametz in any shape or form. You're not allowed to eat it for sure. You're not allowed to feed it to your dog. You can't sell it. It's usur by no. You can't have any benefit from chametz. When? From the beginning of the sixth hour. Ah, if that be the case, kida oraisa damya. Please underline those two words. We're going to have a lot to say about those two words. Kida oraisa damya. In other words, that moment of time has the same status as a doraisa. The chaf here at the word kidoraisa means we're going to compare an isa drabanan to an isa doraisa. And basically we're going to say that the same laws that apply after 12 noon will now apply with 11 a.m., from 11 a.m. and on. From 11 a.m. and on, it's considered like a doraisa. And that means that chametz mishe shos is asur mirabanan like a doraisa. And what do we want to achieve here by having this chaf adimyon and this analogy between the sixth hour and the seventh hour? The sixth hour when the rabbanon say you're not allowed to have chametz is like the seventh hour when the Torah says you're not allowed to have chametz. Is the answer is la bershusei kaimei. It's already asur ba'ano. And once the Torah said, once the Rabbanan established, because again we're in the sixth hour now, that you're not allowed to benefit from the chametz, then it's already out of your reshus. Because ownership means that I'm able to benefit from something. If the halacha enjoins me from benefiting from something, then it's already la b'rishusay. It's not in my reshus. And once it's out of my reshus, is lo matzi mevatel. I can never make it batel. Now again, you might argue, well, let him recite the bittul 1 minute before the sixth hour. You know, let's say the sixth hour starts at 11 a.m. Maybe at 11:59, you know, he should recite bittul. That's going to be a question. But maybe it's cutting it too close, and maybe he won't remember because, again, you know, we're trying to attach it to a moment in time that he has to burn his chametz. And at 10:59, a minute before 11, he doesn't have to burn his chametz. But if we wait until he has to burn his chametz, which which is at 11 a.m., it's already too late, because once the Rabbanan imposed upon this chametz the status of chametz, which means it's also achila uba ana, you're not allowed to benefit from it in any way, it's already lav reshusei kaimi, and once it's lav reshusei kaimi, it's taken out of his possession, he can no longer be mevatel. Be mevatel the chametz.
So if you're burning the chametz, you can't, as you're burning it, you can't warm your hands with the fire.
Well, yes and no, because it depends. This is a sugya later on in the second parak, which is called Yeshvach Eitzim Bepas, which means that are you getting benefit from the chametz, or are you getting benefit from the fire? In other words, is it? No, you know, to you that seems like splitting hairs, but the Gemara actually has a whole sugya about this. In other words, when I light something, a fire, I make a torch out of something, exactly, am I benefiting from the destruction of the object, meaning the combustibility makes the energy, or no, I am benefiting directly from the object. So again, if you ask me, are you allowed to heat up your hands to the fire of Srivat's chametz? That's a very, very interesting question in and of itself.
You should be lechumra then. You shouldn't, if it's mitaraisim, you should be lechumra.
Well, again, we're talking at the beginning of the sixth hour, which is only derabbanan. Because we burn our chametz at 11 a.m. The rabbanan were afraid that on a cloudy day, we wouldn't know the difference between 12 p.m. and 11 a.m. So they backed it up by 1 hour. And the Gemara thinks that 1 hour would give us a perfect time, a point in time for bittul chametz. Because if at that moment, call it 11, the clock strikes 11 a.m., I should go out and burn my chametz, because that's what the Rabbanan required, that would be a great moment for bittul. That would be a great candidate for bittul. So the Gemara says, no, it's too late for bittul. Why is it too late for bittul? Because once the Rabbanan imposed a status of chametz with an iser hanor, meaning the whole 9 yards, it's now chametz is completely also midrabanan, kida oraisa dami. Again, we're going to talk about that at great length. What does it mean, kida oraisa dami? But right now we'll accept it on a very surface level. It means it has the same status of Isra Hano like any Isra Hano, just like I cannot benefit from Klaya Kerem on a Doraisa level, or Basim Cholov, or Chametz BePesach, and so forth, whatever's Asur Mano, so too Midrabanan, 1 hour earlier, in this case 11 a.m., I can't benefit from the Chametz. And therefore it's out of my Rishus. Don?
If I remember correctly, we say the Bittul after we burn.
Yeah.
So how does that fit in with this?
I think that Minhag of being mevatel lechovitz after you burn is based on this havamin in the Gemara. There's some. It's very fascinating, and this is for a longer discussion, that minhagi Yisrael very often develop from a havamin in the Gemara, even though lemaskana the Gemara rejects it. So at the end of the day, the real bittul is the bittul that we recite after bedika on the night of bedika. That's the night of the 14th. We add another bittul on the day of the 14th. But again, it's got to be before Shas Isuro. Meaning, what you're going to have to do is, you're going to have to burn the chametz before 11 a.m. Again, when I say 11 a.m., it's not really so, because it changes based on the sunrise and sunset in any mokum at any so that's called Shal Zmanios. But let's say in a perfect day, it would be at 11 a.m. I have to burn my chametz before 11 a.m. And at that point, I can recite bittul. Do I need the bittul? Technically, I don't need the bittul, because I've already recited bittul the night before. What's the purpose of a second bittul? Based on this havamin, the Gemara is looking for an attachment. This is the philosophy of attachment, meaning to attach your bittul to a moment in time where you're already involved in destroying your chametz. And since you're involved in destroying your chametz by day, in addition to the bedikah that you did at night, we're going to make sure that, you know, you didn't leave out your bittul. You really did your bittul, and you fulfilled your requirement of bittul at night. But you know, just in case, to cover our bases, we'll add another bittul.
So
I'm saying this very superficially. I mean, if we get a chance to get into it in more profound way, you'll see that there is a difference between the bittul at night and the bittul by day.
So,
but let's let the sugyas develop themselves, because if we, you know the phrase in Hebrew, maybe you're familiar, tafasta maruba lo tafasta. If you try to grab everything at one time, you end up with nothing. Jerry, did you want to say something?
Just on that Rashi that we read at the top of the daf, tikkun rabbanan lechol adam Vatel Belibur. Why didn't Rabbana say the words? That's a better memory when you have to say something
rather than
in your heart.
The truth is that this depends on two Rashis. There seems to be a discrepancy in Rashi. If you take a look at Rashi on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, again without losing your place here on Daf Zayin, Rashi on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and we've quoted this Rashi many, many times, it's smack in the middle of the page. You see where it says, Bebitl bi'alma, Rashi says, Vashbasa delev hi hashbasa. Can you find that Rashi? The next Rashi is Bitter Abanon, if that helps you. So, in my Gemara, they bold the heading of the Rashi. Yeah. So, there are two Rashis that are continuous. One is Bebitul Bialma, then two lines below that it says Bitter Abanon. So, if you go up a little bit from the word Bitter Abanon, Rashi says Hashbasa Delev Hi Hashbasa. And at this point, if I only have this Rashi, and I put it together with our Rashi here on Daf Zayin, there's no requirement to recite Bittul out loud. But that's not really correct, even though, again, there are two Rashis that support that view. And here we go to the Rashi on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, I think it is. Let's just see. Remember the sugya of Maskir and Socher, right? The renter and the person who rents the house. So where is that? Just 1 second. I'm sorry, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Did I say Gimel Amud Aleph? I correct myself. Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. So again, try not to lose the place of Daf Zayin. But if you take a look at Rashi on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, Rashi says, Dibra Maskel Chovas Hadar, which means on the fourth of the wide lines, that's counted, four lines down, when it gets wide on the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, you see a Rashi Dibra Maskel Chovas Hadar. So Rashi says, if you fast forward, Rashi says Vi Omar. Do you see the word Vi Omar? Kol Chamira De Beisa Hadein. Now that word Vi Omar seems to contradict what Rashi says over and over again, that all you need is Hashpasa Belev. And Rashi here requires an amira. You have to make a verbal declaration. It's not enough that you have this in your heart. And there's a lot of literature to try to reconcile these Rashis, maybe on a Doraisa level, it's enough if you do Hashbasa Belev, Bitu Belev Sagi. On a Dorabana level, they require an amira. Again, very complicated business. You know, I'm hoping that for my 11:45 shiur, eventually we're finished with Purim, and then we're going to start Pesach. This would be a major topic. But I will tell you the following, that the bottom line is that Rashi requires an Amira. Bitul Belev is not enough. Again, what to do with this Rashi on top? That's a question. But why do I say you need Amira? Because the Gemara says that after Shas Isuro, Once you've passed that time period in which the Torah prohibits you from owning the chametz, and for that matter, even if the Rabbanim prohibit you from owning the chametz, benefiting from the chametz, you can no longer make bittul. Now, if Rashi holds that bittul's belev, this doesn't really make any sense. See, if you could approach bittul from the perspective of Tosfos, I'm afraid I'm going to get you confused here, but I'll give it a shot anyway. So anyone who feels they might get confused, just close your ears and don't listen to what I'm about to say. Tosfos identifies bittul as what? Does anybody remember?
Hefker.
Excellent. Hefker. So if you're talking about hefker, then it makes sense to say that after Shas Isuro, once the Torah clamps me down with an Iser, it's no longer mine to be mafkir. I can't be mafkir something that's not really mine. So it's only mine in terms of Bal Yerah, Bal Yimotze, as we spoke about ownership on two levels, this Choshen Mishpat ownership, classical monetary ownership, and then it's ownership from Aruch Hayim. Once it's left my Rishus, I can't make it into Hefker. So the whole concept of Bittul is completely off base. But if you all like Rashi, that Bittul's Belev, then why can't I make bittul b'lev after Shas Isur? On the contrary, the Torah says Tashbisu. Rashi says Tashbisu means bittul b'lev. And Tashbisu, the original word in that pasuk, is Ach. Right? It says Ach b'yom harishon Tashbisu, which means that Tashbisu is a mitzvah that takes effect at noon, when it's already out of my rishus. So if Hashbasa means Hashbasa b'lev, and all I need is just an emotional decision that I don't want this chametz, and it's like the dust in the earth in my eyes, then why shouldn't that work after Shas Isura? On the contrary, that's when the Torah says Tashbisu, which Rashi identifies as Hashbasa b'lev. So you're going to have to introduce the other Rashi that we saw in Daf Dalet, that bittul is more than just Hashbasa b'lev. Bittul requires some sort of an objective act. And the bounds or the rules of that act is that it could be effective before Shas Isur, but not after Shas Isur. So that's a long discussion that needs to be taken under advisement.
I recall a number of years back when Aaron Pesek was on Shabbat, where everyone in Shul said the Amira together. And,
oh yeah, they made a whole to-do about it?
Yeah.
That's interesting. What'd you do for Shal Shudas? Anyway. Alright, so here on both sides we have the following issue. What is Kido Raiso Damya? What does it mean when we say that with the emergence of the sixth hour, the beginning of the sixth hour, 11 a.m, Chametz is out of your Rishus? And it's Kido Raiso Damya. The Torah says it's yours until the beginning of the seventh hour, meaning till 12 noon. The Rambanan say you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of this chametz at 11 a.m., meaning at the end of the fifth hour, the beginning of the sixth hour. Why is it Kido Raiso Damya? You know, all over Shas, we make this very strict and fundamental distinction between a Torah law and a rabbinic law. Are we blurring that distinction? Are we throwing it overboard? What's this Kido Raiso Damya? And just to demonstrate how important this, the far-ranging, you know, repercussions of this Kiddo Raisa Dam, you take a look at the next line in the Gemara. The Amar Rav Gidol Amar Reb Chiyo Bar Yosef Amar Rav Hamakadesh Mishesh Shos Ulamalo. I'm going to skip a few words just that we don't get confused, because there's a whole sugya within a sugya here. Ein Choshishin L'Kiddushin. So what does the word Kiddushin mean?
Marriage.
I marry a woman, I have to give her what? An object of value. Who has to own the object of value? I have to own. The Makadish has to own the object of value. What if I give her chametz? Well, if it's Pesach, I'm in deep trouble, because on Pesach I don't own this chametz. And not only that, the chametz is valueless. There's nothing she can do with the chametz. But now the question is, what about Erev Pesach? Now, again, slow down over here. What do you mean by Erev Pesach? Are you talking afternoon? If it's afternoon, once again, chametz is also by Noah. You can't own it. It's out of your rishus. You therefore cannot use it as a means to be Mekadesh and Ishi. You're not giving her anything. However, what about at the 11th, at 11 a.m., meaning the end of the fifth hour, beginning of the sixth hour? That's already chametz, but only Midrabbana. Now, I want to know, the man went ahead. You know, the halacha has to deal with every possible scenario. You know, it's, you know, you'll ask me, Rabbi, why are we racking our brains? The possibility of this happening is like, you know, zero, right? But that's not how halacha works, and you and I know this. Halacha has to address every single possibility. So here's what happened. Reuven gives chametz to Leah at the beginning of the sixth hour on Erev Pesach. There are two witnesses. He says, Hareat Mekudeshesli. She accepts the chametz, and everybody's happy, and, you know, they pop up all the thing, and mazel tov. So Rav Gidol Amarav says, the Kedushin are not worth anything. They're completely invalid. Ein choshishin l'kedushin. Don't even dream about the Kedushin. It's not even a chashash Kedushin. You know, sometimes the Gemara says, Chayshina l'kedushin. There's a famous Gemara in Kedushin. A man says to a woman, Areat mekudeshesli almanas on the condition shanit tzadik. And he's known to be a pretty lousy guy, right? He's a scoundrel. So the Gemara says, Choshishin l'kedushin. Why? Shema hir tshuva belibo. Maybe he did tshuva the moment that he gave her the ring, you know. So we're always choshish v'kedushin, you know, in the wildest case. But here, ain choshishin l'kedushin. Now, I don't get it. The Torah says that you're allowed to do whatever you want with this chametz. It's the sixth hour. It's an hour before achilat. So that means that certainly he owns this chametz. He can benefit from it. On a Torah level, he can do whatever he wants with it. Certainly be mekadesh and isha. No. Ein choshen l'kedusha. Why? Because the Rabbanon said that chametz is osur b'hanah at the beginning of the 11th, of the sixth hour, which means at 11 a.m. Which means ein choshen l'kedusha. Why? Because midrabbanon it's osur b'hanah. Do you see the repercussions here of that word that I ask you to underline before? Kid-do-raisa, David. It's like a do-raisa. Imagine, on a do-raisa level, he gave us something that's his, that's mutabadna. He can do anything. He can eat the chametz, as far as the Torah is concerned. Have a, you know, I don't want to call it the Last Supper because, you know, Pesach time, we don't want to mention those religions, but, you know, he can have his last chametz tikkun meal, you know, at 11 a.m. and the Torah, you know, all the Gedolei Yisrael are going to be there and we'll all celebrate that last chametz. You know, we like our last chametz meal. You know, it's like geschmack, right? The last chametz meal. Eat up all that chametz and then all of a sudden you get fat because you've eaten all the leftover pieces of cake, right? So the Torah recognizes that. But the Rabbanan say that the chametz is osur b'hanah from the beginning of the sixth hour. That itself is kido oraisa damya. It's like it's osur b'hanah midoraisa. That's the power the chachamim have. Therefore, he doesn't own this chametz. He hasn't given anything of value to her. And therefore, ein choshen l'kedusha. Is that not amazing? How do the rabbanon have the power to do such a thing? And Rashi tries to answer this question. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mishesh shos ulamal. It's about six lines down from the top. Mitchila shesh. Beginning of the sixth hour, we called it 11 a.m. The Yisur Drabbanani. Okay, now I told you there's a sugya within a sugya here. He gave her something that's not even chametz, really. He gave her something called chiti de kurdenaisa. What they used to do is they used to make a kind of a, I don't know what to call it, a bread. We'll call it a bread here, but don't take me literally. It's not exactly a bread. It's otherwise known, I'll call it by its name in halacha. It's called chametz nuksha. Okay? Chametz nuksha, which literally translates as hard bread. There's a point at which bread becomes so tough, chametz nuksha, that the Torah doesn't even prohibit that chametz. Because it's really not—it's not edible in a normal way. I mean, you certainly could feed it to your dog, but it's not—it's not a good piece of pastry. It's fashtunken. It's, you know, it's hard and it's tough. It's moldy.
If you can feed it to your dog, it is classified as chametz, you know.
If you're allowed to feed it to your dog, yeah. Well, that's an interesting question. Whether something has to be nifsal meach. Again, all that is the second parent. So I plead the fifth because we got to get to the second parent. But let me just establish that there was a place called Kurdenaisa, and there they grew wheat, which was very hard, very tough, and it would only produce what's called chametz nuksha, which is only osur midrabbanan. So imagine, the man is giving a woman chametz nuksha on the 11th at 11 a.m. on the sixth, in the sixth hour of Pesach. It's derabbanan for two reasons. Number one is the rabbanan because we haven't yet gotten to the time of achilek of noon. It's only a shah the rabbanan 1 hour earlier. Number two, it's the rabbanan because it's not real chametz; it's only chametz nuksha, and yet ain't choshen l'kedusha.
Does the kedusha have enough value? I mean, yeah.
It doesn't have value because the rabbanan said it's chametz. The Torah doesn't recognize it as chametz, but the rabbanan said it's chametz. It looks too much like chametz. It's similar to chametz. Yeah, it's probably very good if you're on a, you know, if you're like on a low carb diet or something. Maybe this bread is the best bread to eat. I don't know. You know, it's spelled. Somebody told me I spelled, you know, how do you spell spelt? You know, so but anyway, so he says the following: Kashim hei ma'od. Where do they grow? And Hare Ararat. Now Ararat is somewhere where the Noach, the Teva. Where is it?
Iraq.
It's in Iraq. That's where the Teva of Noach landed, apparently. Anyway, the Koshim Ein Ma'od, Vafilu Hachi, says Rashi, Ein Choshin L'Kedushin in Bo'alei Mayim. So he took these Chitei de Kurtanaisa that are grown from Hariyah, they're very tough, and he poured water on them, and there was some, how shall I say, immature or facsimile of fermentation. Not the real thing, but the Rabbanan said we're going to consider it as if it's chametz. Maybe it looks a little bit like chametz, and we're afraid he'll confuse it with chametz. By the way, one of the most complicated halachic concepts to define is chametz. We don't know what chametz is. People say chametz means fermentation, but it's very, very complicated. On that, there's a whole perek in Shas in Psachim. What exactly constitutes chimutz? So at this point, we're talking about something where the Torah doesn't recognize it as chametz, but the Rabbanon recognize it as chametz. So it's asur min Rabbanon, and not only that, it's a shah de Rabbanon. I mean, the hour is the Rabbanon, because it's an hour before Chatzos. He gives it to her for Kiddushin in front of two Eidim, and he says, Arayat Mekudeshesli, she accepts it. It's ein choshen l'kiddushin. It's worthless. The whole Kiddushin is a, what do they call it today, fake news. It's not real Kiddushin. That's a long, long kasha of Rashi. The afal gavin, even though you'll ask me the following question, how is it possible that an iser hanah derabbanon of chametz nuksha at the sixth hour would come and undermine mafkia and completely void kiddushei Torah? What does he mean by kiddushei Torah? On a deraisal level, what's the status of this kiddushin? Absolutely valid, no problem. It's before 12 noon, and it's chametz, which is not really chametz. It's chitei kur denaisa. It's chametz nuksha. How is it possible? Asks Rashi, that an iser derabbanan of Hanas Chametz, that the Rabbanan said we're going to consider it as if it's Chametz, even though it's not Chametz, even though the hour has not arrived yet. We consider it as Chametz, and it's also Hanas. Say the Rabbanan, and now Mafkia Kiddushe Torah? Now wait a second. On a Doraisa level, this is valid Kiddushin. She is an Ashes Ish. That's the most severe violation of the Torah. Right? Vishori, and she could get married to anyone. She doesn't need a divorce. She can marry a Kohen. Says Rashi, Hometartzinan Bekama Duchtin. Rashi says you have to know a number of sugyas in Shas which always repeat the same point. He has a whole list of them here on the side. Yevamis, Ksubis, Kiddushin, Gittin. Anywhere in Seder Noshim, the Gemara, like a Tuki, repeats the same phrase. And that is Kol Demakadesh. Please underline these words if you've never seen them before, and even if you've seen them, it's worth underlining them. Kol Demakadesh. Anyone who marries a woman, Adaite Derabbanan Mekadesh. Adaite means his das, his mindset. When he implements, when he undermines the Maisa Kedushin, is Derabbanan, that Derabbanan will validate his Kedushin. They'll be happy, they'll smile and approve his Kedushin. Makadish, that's what he is. And therefore, this Kedushin is not valid. Derabbanan are going to press the veto button. They reject this Kedushin. Why? Because as far as we're concerned, Derabbanan say, you married her with Isuri Anor, with something that we consider to be chametz, and we prohibited it totally as chametz. Therefore, it's not valid. This is called Kol Demakadesh, Adaite Derabbanan Mekadesh. You remember, Rabbosei, sometimes I ask you to sing, you know, a choir, because when we get to some very important principle, you have to hack it around and cop around. You got to let it sink into your brain, because it's fundamental. This is one of them. So again, anyone who wants to join me, please do. If you don't like my voice, maybe I'm not such a beautiful singer, maybe you'll drown out my voice, which is very good. Kol demekadesh adaite derabbanan mekadesh. Now Tosfos, in a number of places in Shas, is not happy with this. Why? Because Tosfos quotes Rashi, who says that when a man is mekadesh and isha, he adds a few words. Okay, let's go over. Everybody here was married at one point in life. Maybe some of you are still married. I hope you are. You married to the same woman that you originally married? I don't know. But anyway, so let's go through the whole nusach. Hare at mekudeshes li b'tabazo. And then three more words. Kedas Moshe the Yisrael. So Tosfos says, what's Moshe the Yisrael? Excellent. Moshe is Doraisa. And Yisrael is the Rabbanan. Kedas Moshe the Yisrael means according to the religious restrictions of both the Torah and Chazal and the Rabbanan. Which means called Mekadesh Adaitoi Durabana Mekadesh. So Tosis wants to know what happens if he omitted those last three words. He decided he's an Ibra Chacham. He's going to fool us. You know, he's going to leave out the words Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. So do we assume then that he doesn't care about the Rabbanan? Maybe he's saying, my Kedushin should be valid according to the Torah law, and I don't give a hoot about the Rabbanan. That's the issue of Tosis. But leaving that issue on the side, called the Mekadesh Adaitei the Rabbanan Mekadesh. Now the Rabbanan said that Chametz is Osir Ba'anoch. And therefore they don't want this Kiddushin. In their mind, in their eyes, he's giving her Chametz. The Kiddushin is invalid. Why? Because he doesn't own the Chametz. Now wait a second. The Rabbanan just didn't get up one morning and say, you know, anybody who's Mekadesh Anisha at the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, we don't want this Kiddushin. They never made such a declaration. What they did declare is that Chametz at the sixth hour is Asur Ba'anoach. Okay, they made that declaration. But who says that therefore the Kiddushin is invalid? Because on a Torah level, I own the Chametz. So here Rashi adds another principle. Rashi flexes another muscle. He says, "Vehefker bezdin hefker, vehem hifkiru mamono." Do you see that in Rashi? In other words, Rashi's not happy. He's not complacent. Just simply say the Rabbanan pressed the veto button. They said, "No, you were Mekadesh Adaita, the Rabbanan. You want our approval. We're not going to give approval to the marriage. Why? Because you married her with chametz after the sixth hour." No, that's not what happens. What the Rabbanan did was, they decided that you don't own this chametz. And how could they do such a thing? How could on the one hand, the Torah says you do own the chametz. And the Rabbanan could say you don't own the chametz? And the answer is hefker bezin hefker. The Torah gives the Rabbanan absolute authority as far as ownership is concerned. If I claim I own this object, the Rabbanan have to give me approval. If they don't, they have a right to go into my bank account and they could be mafkir everything. Now, I don't know if in secular law, in English common law, there is such a thing, a parallel, where the government has rights to confiscate your property. I think it has a Latin name for it. What's it called?
A lien.
A lien. Okay, but there's a Latin eminent phrase domain. For it. What's it called? Eminent domain. Maybe it's eminent domain. But I remember when I studied law, there was a fancy Latin word for it. But in halachic terms, it's called hefker bezin hefker. The Gemara in Yevamos derives this from psukim in the Torah, that the Rabban have the authority to take something that's yours and make it not yours, that it's hefker. And the Rabban will exercise that right with regard to chametz on Erev Pesach from the sixth hour, and now we're saying even chametz nuksha, and they will make it into hefker. And if they make it into hefker, then it's not yours. And if it's not yours, you can't be Mekadesh Anisha. So for example, let's say this was hefker. And I come over to Sarah and I say, "No, here, Sarah, take this for Kiddushin." Not valid. Why it's hefker.
Why not?
If someone has hefker, you have to own it. You have to own it.
Oh, okay. But in this case, it's hefker even after I pick it up. Why? Because it remains Osir Ba'anoach. So the Rabbanan is saying this remains hefker. Whether you pick it up or you don't pick it up, you're not allowed to benefit from it. And therefore, it's hefker. Ah, if it's hefker, then I can't be Mekadesh Anisha with it. Now, watch what goes on in Rashi. Rashi is operating from two different perspectives. And he's applying two different principles. One principle he applies is called the Mekadesh Adaitei Derabbanan Mekadesh, that the man had in mind that his Kiddushin should be approved by the Chachamim. The Gemara Ksuvos compares it to another case where a man says, Al Menashe Tirza Abba. He says to her, "I'm being Mekadesh you on the condition that your father will approve of the marriage." You know, some people ask their future father-in-law for rights, you know, the hand of his daughter in marriage, of his future father-in-law's daughter. So a hand in marriage, right? He wants the approval. So a man says, my condition are conditional. A man can make a condition in marriage. And he says, my marriage is conditional on the approval of so-and-so. El Manash Yirtze Ima, Manash Yirtze Achiv, whatever it is. So too, he says Al Manash She Yirtzu Chachamim Kedas Moshe Yisrael called the Mekadesh Adayt the Rabbanim Mekadesh. Then Rashi says Hefker Bezin Hefker. Wait a minute. If Rashi is employing the principle of Hefker Bezin Hefker, I don't need Kol Mekadesh Adayt the Rabbanim Mekadesh. You know, this would answer Tosfos' question. He left out the words Kedas Moshe Yisrael. I couldn't care less. He's not giving us something that he owns because it's Osir Manah. And the Rabbanan have the power and the authority to take it out of his possession. He doesn't own it. Hefker Bezin Hefker. So what is it? Will the real explanation please stand up? You know, is it the first explanation, namely, called the Mekadesh Adayt to the Rabbanan, he says, I have a Tanai, I want the Rabbanan rabbinic approval? Or is it Hefker Bezin Hefker? And Rashi somehow integrates the two explanations. And the question is, how does that integration work? That's a pill. That's a real difficult question to answer. But at the end of the day, Rabbo, so we come back to our sugya. The sugya says, well, let it be mevatel is chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. And the answer is no. It's not your chametz. It's already lab bershusei kaima. Why? Because since the Rabbanim said that chametz is also when? At the beginning of the sixth hour. Kidda oraisa, damyo. That has the same status as chametz gomur midoraisa after the beginning of the seventh hour, after noon. And if it's not yours, and if it's lab bershusei kaima, it's not your bershusei kaima. Can't be mevatel l'chametz. Wow, this is a piece of work here, this Gemara. And just to figure out exactly how Rashi integrates two different principles here, he piles them up like a piggyback, one on top of the other. But the bottom line is ein choshen l'kedushin. And Rashi asks the question: how could the Rabbanan be mafkia the din of the Torah? You know, Rashi at this point, the chametz is his, it's valuable, it's mutter, and he gave it up for kedushin, and she's an eishes ish, and the Rabbanan could say, poof, ein choshen l'kedushin. Let her go ahead and marry anyone she chooses, and there's no problem. That's the power of the Chachamim with regard to, number one, Hefker Bezin Hefker, number two, with regard to Kiddushin, and here, and with regard to Kol Mekadesh Adayt Rabbanan, and here we see how it comes to the fore in the case of Chametz. So if I ask you, I'm going to meet you 6 months from now, and I'm going to say to you, Reb Yid, give me an example of Kiddushin, which Midoraisa would be totally valid, but the Rabbanan invalidated it, and what are you going to say? Chametz Mishay Shos Lomach. That's going to be your example. Truth is, this can apply to many other examples. For example, if we have Basar B'Cholof, so the Torah says you're not allowed to cook milk and meat together. And again, it's only certain meat, it's not all meat. And this was cooked, milk and meat together. However, it's not Asur Midoraisa. Maybe the cooking wasn't long enough. Maybe it wasn't real cooking. It was what's called kavush kemavushal. We don't know if Tigun has the dinner bishul. There are all sorts of prerequisites that have to be met. Maybe it's not real basar. You know, maybe it's basar oaf. We don't know what the story with a chaya is. You know, he cooked venison meat with milk. I don't know what happened. Anyway, for any number of possible different technical reasons, it's not basar b'chol on a doraisa level. And there are one and us. And they said, this, as far as we're concerned, this is considered basar b'chol. So you take a piece of chicken, you cook it with milk, and it's basar b'chol mirabot. The man gives it to a woman. And he says, Harei mekudeshes li, with this cheeseburger, okay? But it's not a cheeseburger. I'll give you an example. You should know that non-kosher meat does not fit into the Torah's definition of basar b'chol. So I assume, again, this is an American culture, but maybe we got it from the Brits. Is it McDonald's in Britain? Do we get it from...
I'm afraid so. No, we got it from...
Oh, you got it from us. Okay. See, whenever it comes to negative, it's the Brits got it from us. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So a McDonald's cheeseburger, I can almost guarantee you, is not basar b'chol. For technical reasons. It's basar b'hema t'meya. Basar b'hema t'meya is not included in Gidi. It says in the Pasuk Gidi. So a man takes a cheeseburger from McDonald's and he gives it to a woman and he says, Harei mekudeshes li. So you and I should say, if we're big Talmidei Chachamim, that the Kedushin is valid, because as far as the Torah is concerned, he can take this cheeseburger and he can eat it, or he can feed it to his dog, and it's perfectly okay, because it's, well, he can't eat it because it's a Moser Tveya, but I'm saying he can feed it to his dog. So he owns it, and he's giving us something that's his, that's worth money. The answer is no. Why? Because of this Gemara that we're learning now. That once the Rabbanon established Iser Hanoah, then we apply the principle called the Makadish Hadai to the Rabbanon Makadish, the principle of Hefker Bezen Hefker, and Ein Choshesh in Likidush.
Can I ask something on the Rashi?
Yes, sure.
I don't know whether this is a valid question or not, because I haven't really thought it through. But the whole point we keep talking about is that Tosfos holds of Hefker, and Rashi does not hold of Hefker. And yet Rashi quotes...
Wait, hold on a second, Michael. That Machlokas about Hefker is about Bittel. Everybody agrees that there is such a thing as being mafkir chametz. What I mean to say is that if the Rabbanim say that you're not allowed to benefit from the chametz, they're basically ripping it out of your possession. The moment in which something becomes osur bahanah, it's out of your possession. You can't own isur hanah. This is Gemara Bava Kama with regard to Shara Niskal. But that's not for us today. But I'm just saying, isur hanah by definition are not mamon. It's not yours. The machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos is, how do I circumvent bal yirah bal yimotze through bittel? And Tosfos employs the principle of hefker, that I'm making it hefker. Rashi disagrees. But everybody, Rashi or Tosfos, agrees that something which becomes Osir by no, the moment the Isra no is chal, at that moment it's out of my possession, it's hefker. And therefore Rashi says that once the Rabbanon said it's Osir by no, even though the Torah allows you to benefit from it, it becomes hefker, it becomes onerous. And if you take something that's onerous and you give it to a woman for kedushin, it ain't gonna cut the mustard, it's not valid.
Isn't it true that every decree the Rabbanon make is like a Torah decree, because we're forbidden to do it. So it's like the Rabbanim make a decree or offense.
Ah,
it's okay. Like,
now you sound like the Rabban who's arguing against the Rambam. That's not bad. You're in good company. So the Rambam says that every Rabbanim is a violation of a Torah law, because it says Lotasur and so forth and so forth. I think we discussed this when we were learning the sugya of Chanukah, if anybody remembers, how we could say Asher Kitchanu Mitzvosu Vitzimonu on Chanukah, which is only the Rabbanim. So the Ramban jumps on the Rambam and he says, wait a minute, if you're telling me that every Darabonon is a violation of a Doraisa, of Lotosa Vikol Shayarucha and Vasisa Kol Shayarucha, then you've completely undermined the distinction. For example, in Safek, we say, if it's Safek Doraisa, we have to go Lechum, or Safek Darabonon Lekula. How do we justify that according to the Rambam? So David is asking a very similar question to the Ramban, and he's saying the following, you know, why do we have to employ and activate these magical principles of Kol Demekadesh Adai to Rabbanu Mekadesh and Hefker Bezen Hefker? Why don't you simply say that once the Rabbanim said it's Osir Manoah, then it's Osir Manoah according to the Torah law of Lotos? Oh, so how many minutes do we have left until the bell rings? Do we have about a quarter of an hour?
Yeah,
okay. It's going to take me probably most of that time to answer your question.
If you'd rather not answer, it's fine.
No, I'd love to answer your question. The only reason I wasn't going to answer your question is because nobody asked the question. So I didn't. You know. But now that you asked it... Okay.
You're the stooge, David.
Yeah. No, it's a brilliant discussion. Let me just see if by chance... I thought maybe I'd have the right volume of the Rambam by chance on
you
the table.
Because there's so much stuff here. Here's Rambam.
You have a Rambam Zmanim?
No.
No.
I can go get it.
No, it's not important. I'll just tell you. Oh, look at that. It's on the bottom.
Have to be here.
It's like the princess in a pea. You know? It's all the way at the bottom of the whole thing. So the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz u'matzah. Let's just see, but you know, we'll look in the Ein Mishpat just to see if we can find. He says it's in Perek Gimel. I'm not sure if it's in Perek Gimel. Let's see. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you while I search for the Rambam. Okay. The Rambam wants to know, listen carefully, what would happen if a man would be Makadish and Isha, not at the beginning of the sixth hour with Chametz, but at the beginning of the fifth hour with Chametz. And the answer is that Chametz at the beginning of the fifth hour, which we call 10 a.m. on our, again, in a perfect clock, is Mutar Bahanah. You're allowed to feed it to your dog. Notice the Rabbanan made two different gzeros here, pushing back or making earlier the time of Isur Chametz. So the first gzera was to take it from the end of the sixth hour, beginning of the seventh hour, which is noon, back to the beginning of the sixth hour, which is 11 a.m. That's gzera number one. Under that gzera, the chametz in that 1 hour is also not only b'achila, but also b'ano, I can't feed it to my dog. However, the Rabbanan took it a step beyond. In a very cloudy day, the Gemara says that maybe, it gets a little bit improbable, but it could be you'll make a mistake up to 2 hours. So the Rabbanan said, you know, we're going to go a step further. And what we're going to do is we're going to say that chametz is asur, but I'm going to qualify that in just a second. Chametz is asur even at the beginning of the fifth hour. That means the end of the fourth hour. That means 10 a.m. But here the Rabbanan made a compromise. They didn't want to go too far. So they imposed during that extra hour an Isra Achila without an Isra Hanno. So that in that hour between the end of the fourth, beginning of the fifth, and the end of the fifth hour, I'm allowed to feed my dog to a goy. Allowed to feed my dog. That was not politically. Erase that from. Okay, gotta get Jeff's. Okay, erase that. So now I can have Hanno from it. I can give it to a goy as a gift. I can give it to my dog. I can feed my dog, etc., etc. Any Hanno is mut. So far, so good, right? Now, our equation, our analogy was the following principle, that if chametz is asur b'hanoah, whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan is irrelevant, I don't own the chametz, and if I give it to a woman for kedushin, the kedushin is not valid. What if I have a heter hanoah, but I'm not allowed to eat the chametz, and I give it to a woman for kedushin? What's going to be the deal then?
Okay.
It's valid kedushin. Why? Because it's got value, and I own it. I can, you know, I can sell it, I can give it to my dog, etc., etc. And therefore, the kedushin is valid. So it's very interesting when you read our Gemara, and this is the Rambam's point, but he's 1,000% right. Amar Rav, Hamakadesh mi sheishal solamala. It doesn't say mi chameishal solamala. Even though chametz is awesome and rabbanan from Shah Hamishis and on, why does it only limit its discussion to Shah Shishis? And what's the answer to that question?
Because
chametz for Shah Hamishis is mutar b'ano. Okay. Now, when the Rambam formulates this halacha of the fourth hour, one second, should be, I think, in Perek Beis, if I remember correctly. Okay, we're going to find this here. Oh, here it is. The end of the first parak in the Ram. Listen to the language of the Ram. This is Parak Alpha Locha Tes. Asru chachomim lechol chametz mitchilas shor shishis kidei shelo yiga be'isur Torah. Now, at this point, he's talking only about the beginning of the sixth hour. He hasn't yet introduced the beginning of the fifth hour. And when he says, Asru Chachamim Lecho, who's he turning to? Is he saying anything about the chametz, or he's turning to the person? He's turning to the person. He says, don't you eat chametz. Then he adds another phrase, which seems to be totally superfluous. The Rambam is not known famous for being verbose. And he writes, Umitchila Shashishis, Yeah HaChametz Asur Be'isur Hanno. Here he shifts the subject from the person who's not allowed to eat the chametz to the chametz itself, and he's saying that with the emergence of the sixth hour, Yeah HaChametz Asur. And then he goes on to say that chametz, once it's asur, see, if I wake up in the middle of the night, I say to you, what's the nature of the scope of the isur chametz? You should tell me it's asur even b'ano. That's what chametz is. If you're making it chametz, says the Rambam, then it's got to be asur b'ano. And then the Rambam says, u'bishah chamishis ein ochlim chametz. When he gets to the fifth hour, he doesn't say that yeah hachametz asur. He says ein ochlim ba chametz. V'eino asur b'ano b'shach hamishis. So it's very interesting that the Rambam is so careful about his choice of language. When he gets to the sixth hour, he wants to tell you not only are you forbidden from eating the chametz, he wants to tell you the chametz itself is asur. And it's asur means, by definition, when you talk about chametz, even by not. When he gets to the fifth hour, the Rambam doesn't say the chametz is asur. He goes out of his way to use a different language, and he says, Mishach HaMishas Ein Ochlim Ba Chametz. And then he goes on to say, but it's mutar b'hanah. So the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik, says the following, that there's a fundamental difference between chametz in the fifth hour and chametz in the sixth hour, even on a Rabbanan level. The real chametz, which the Rabbanan decided this is going to be chametz, that's in the sixth hour. What the Rabbanan did was, they extended backwards the Zman of Iser chametz, and they said that the sixth hour is considered like the seventh hour, meaning 11 to 12 is like 12 and on. And that's what the Rabbanan have the power to do. They can take a prohibition that's d'oraisa, and they can expand it, they can extend it. Masha'in came in conscious in the fifth hour. They never did that. They never made a declaration that in the fifth hour from 10 to 11 it's chametz. What they just said is, I don't want you to eat this. Stay away from eating it. Because you know what? Maybe it's a cloudy day and maybe you make a mistake of 2 hours. Stay away from eating it. But it's not really chametz. And what's the barometer? How do I test whether it's chametz or not, says the Rambam? Hano, exactly. If it's asur b'hano, it means it's chametz. Albeit the Rabbanan, but it's chametz the Rabbanan. If it's not asur b'hano, it's only asur b'achil, then it's not really chametz. The Rabbanan never extended the Torah law of chametz. They just said, stay away from this object, but it's not really chametz. So the real chametz only emerges with the beginning of the sixth hour. That's the Brisker Rav. And the Brisker Rav says, based on that, he understands the next line in the Rambam. The Rambam says, ha'ochel chametz, if he eats chametz, mishay shosol amala, says the Rama, makinoso makas mardus. Okay, there's something called malchus d'rabbanan, meaning the makas d'oraisa is 39 full-fledged lashes. You know, you get a big burly guy, you know, again, he shouldn't be too powerful, but and the strap shouldn't be too powerful, but it's serious stuff. You know, 39 malchus. Yeah, they make a whole umdana, can he survive it? Then there's something a little bit laid back, but it's also a serious business. It's called Marcus Mardus. The Rambam says that there's a fundamental difference between someone who eats chametz in the fifth hour as opposed to someone who eats chametz in the sixth hour. If he eats chametz in the fifth hour, he doesn't get malchus. Oh, you're a step ahead of me. Beautiful, Jim. If it's, on the other hand, if he eats chametz in the sixth hour, he gets Marcus Mardus. Fred the Brisker Rav, I don't understand. As far as the Isra Achil is concerned, there's no difference between the fifth hour and the sixth hour. In both cases, they ask in chametz. As far as Achil is concerned, the whole difference is as far as Hanoah is concerned, but as far as Achil, it's the same. So why should someone who violates the Isra Achil in the fifth hour be alleviated from Makas Mardus, and if he violates the same exact Isur Derabbanan of Achil is chametz in the sixth hour, from 11 to 12, he is subject and liable to Makas Mardus? The answer is, says the Brisker Rav, because chametz in the sixth hour is chametz. The Rabbanan made it into chametz. You violate that Isur Achil is chametz, you get Makas Mardus. But chametz in the fifth hour is not really chametz. It's a separate zera, but it's not chametz. The entity is not haraya, it's mutar b'hanah. Therefore, even if you violate the Rabbanan and you eat the chametz, you don't get Makas Mardus. Now we can apply this to Kedusha Isha. And we're going to say the following, that if you ask me whether or not we're talking about a violation of an Issa d'oraisa, as David says, you know, in the light of the Rambam Shita, that every d'rabbanan is a violation of an Issa d'oraisa, there are two types of d'rabbanans. There's one type of d'rabbanan where the d'rabbanans say, you know what? We're going to consider it, d'rabbanan, as if you violated the Torah law. We're going to say that at the beginning of the sixth hour it's already chametz, and therefore you're violating all the Torah laws of chametz. Again, we can't give you makas d'oraisa because the Torah doesn't call it chametz, but the Rabbanan called it chametz. And they're extending what we call the shame chametz, the status of chametz, into the sixth hour. And therefore, that would be a full violation of lotos. But if you ask me, what about chametz in the fifth hour? That's really a different halach. That's called asus yagla Torah. That means that we have to keep a person far away from the Issa Torah. And in this case, we're going to extend it for a full 2 hours, but it's not really chametz. And now, if he's Makadish and Isha, if you take a look at the language of Rav, you know, Daf Zayin of Rav, it says Mishay Shos Lamala Ein Choshu LeKedushin, because from Shay Shos Lamala the Rabbanan extended the Shem Chometz and they considered it Chometz. If it's Chometz, it's not yours. If it's Chometz, it's also Banah. If it's Chometz, the Rabbanan considered it Hefker. And since Hefker Besen Hefker, the Torah recognizes the authority and the power of the Chacham to make something into Hefker, you didn't give us something that's yours. But in the fifth hour, that's considered your Chometz. It's not yet Chometz. Chometz means it's Aser Banah. Here the Chometz is Mutar Banah. Just the Rabbanan said stay away. That's already a different gedder. That's a different definition. That's called the Siyag LaTorah. So Rav Osser, let's just see where we're up to, so tomorrow we'll be able to continue the sugya. Do you see where it says Ein Choshishin LeKedushin? And then the Gemara starts with the words Ulebasar Isura Lomatzi Mavatzo. Please make a note. The Gemara now is going to try to prove over and over again that even after Shas Isur you could be Mavatel Yochamitz. That's not true, Lamaskana. Every one of the proofs the Gemara is going to reject, but that's going to be the sugya. Then what I told you before about Chometz that got spoiled, that's the very next sugya that we have. At what point do we say that Chometz that got spoiled is no longer us, it's no longer Chometz? Okay, I wish everyone a great day. If anyone has any questions, comments, I'm here.
Do we have permission of Mishnah Berurah today?
Yes, Mirtz Hashem, if anyone wants to join for Mishnah Berurah, we're learning Hilchos Megillah at 10:30.
So I'm going to get coffee, do you need anything?
No, I'm set. Thank you.